His robes for mine, oh wonderful exchange. Clothed in my sin, Christ suffered 'neath God's rage. Draped in his righteousness, I'm justified. In Christ I live, for in my place he died. His robes for mine, what cause have I for dread? God's daunting law, Christ mastered in my stead. Faultless I stand, with righteous works not mine, saved by my Lord's vicarious death and life. I cling to Christ and marvel at the cost. Jesus forsaken, God estranged from God. Bought by such love, my life is not my own. My praise, my all, shall be for Christ alone. His robes for mine, God's justice is appeased. Jesus is Christ, and thus the Father's pleased. Christ drank God's wrath on sin, then cried, 'Tis done. Sin's wages paid, propitiation won. I cling to Christ and marvel at the cost. Jesus forsaken, God estranged from God. Bought by such love, my life is not my own. My praise, my all, shall be for Christ alone. His robes for mine, such anguish none can know. Christ God's beloved, condemned as though his foe. He as though I, accursed and left alone. I as though he, embraced and welcomed home. I cling to Christ and marvel at the cost. Jesus forsaken, God estranged from God. Bought by such love, my life is not my own. My praise, my all, shall be for Christ alone. My praise, my all, shall be for Christ alone.
Genesis chapter 16. I tried to do better on time wise.
You're good. You're good till you're done.
I ran over that a little bit. I told you I was listening to my dad preach this morning, and he preached for an hour. I mean, preached. That wasn't singing, and that was just preaching. You know, those people were shouting and hollering the whole service. They weren't worried about what time it was and just enjoying the blessing. It's good when you can get come apart before you come apart.
That's right.
Right? We've come apart today to assemble ourselves together. And if you got to go before I get done, you can leave. We're not holding you captive. And because I know sometimes people have to. But I promise you I will not go longer than the Lord puts on my heart. When you run out of corn, you shut down the mill, right? Mm-hmm. I've been in some services where they didn't. Everybody knew it was over except the preacher. Remember? I mean, it's rough, you know. I told Pam, I said, if one of us don't go to the altar, we ain't never going to get out of here. And so I don't think it'll be like that today. I don't have a title per se for what I want to bring to your attention from Genesis chapter 16, but I dare say that most of you in here this morning are familiar with the first six verses of this chapter in the Old Testament. But there are four things, and they all begin with the letter P. Sometimes that helps us to remember things, and it helps me sometimes, not always. He was talking about our brain running out of our ear, getting discombobulated. It's like, man, it gets worse and worse and worse as you get older, or at least it does for me. It's hard to remember things sometimes, and it don't take much, you know. Everybody, you've heard the old saying, I live in the state of confusion. Y'all thought I was from North Carolina? And I like that song, When the Roll is Called Up Yonder.
Yes.
Yonder. Y'all know where yonder is? You know, down south, we got a lot of words that y'all ain't never heard of. It's like, y'all want to go over here and do something? That's all one word. You know, y'all want to go over here and do something? Let's go over here and get something to eat. That's all one word. But that old yonder, that's something we all understand. When the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there.
Sorry.
But they all begin with the letter P. But let's read the first six verses. If you have your Bibles in Genesis 16, follow along with me if you would. Verse number 1 says, Now Sarai, Abram's wife, bare him no children, and she had an handmaid, an Egyptian, whose name was Hagar. Y'all have heard of this before, haven't you, most of you? And Sarai said unto Abram, Behold now, the Lord hath restrained me from bearing. The Lord hath restrained me from bearing. Everybody can't have children, can they? There's some who cannot have children. I pray thee, she said, Here, I'm asking you, go in unto my maid. It may be that I may obtain children by her. And Abram hearkened to the voice of Sarai. You got the picture so far? Verse number 3. And Sarai, Abram's wife, took Hagar, her maid, the Egyptian, after Abram had dwelt 10 years in the land of Canaan, and gave her to her husband, Abram, to be his wife. And he went in unto Hagar, and she conceived. And when Sarai saw that she, Hagar, had conceived, her mistress was despised in her eyes. Don't take long for things to change, does it?
Sure.
It's the way life is. Verse 5, Sarai said unto Abram, My wrong be upon thee. Yeah, my wrong be upon thee. I have given my maid into thy bosom, and when she saw that she had conceived, I was despised in her eyes. The Lord judge between me and thee. But Abram said unto Sarai, Behold, thy maid is in thy hand. Do to her as it pleaseth thee. And when Sarai dealt hardly with her, Sarai dealt hardly, harshly, in a bad way with Hagar, she fled from her face. In other words, Hagar was afraid for her life because of the attitude that Sarai developed toward her because she had conceived a child of her husband, Abram. And when I read this, I don't know, some time back, I just jotted down four quick things that I hope we can apply to our lives and principles because we can learn, even though you say, well, this wasn't written for us, or this wasn't written to Gentiles, or this was written for the Jewish nation. All of these things are principles that we can apply in our life. Amen? Even if it wasn't written necessarily right to us, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, right? And is what? What's the next word? Profitable. So all of the Word of God, even though it may not have been written directly to us, the church, or to us in this New Testament age that we live in, it is something that we can learn from. Have you ever heard the saying, live and learn?
Yes.
Heard that? Live and learn. But you know what's easier to do, and I've told you this before, it's easier to learn and live.
Amen.
Do y'all believe we can learn from the mistakes of others?
Yes.
I'm not wishing bad on anybody. I'm not wishing, Brother Will, that somebody messes up just so I can learn from that and say, boy, I'll never do that. And you got to be careful with those words too, right? You ever heard this? Boy, if I ever have children, they're never going to do that. You've got some new additions this year. Brother Colby, they might say, boy, my kid will never do that. Don't say that. Don't say that. Don't do it. It's like my dad when he was preaching this morning and I was listening. He said, don't tell the devil everything.
Sorry.
Right? Don't tell him everything. Because when we speak, he hears us, or the demons of hell that are assigned to this church to try to cause havoc and wreak havoc in this place. And in our lives, in our cities, and whatever, they hear it. And he kind of convicted me this morning. He said, some of y'all need to quit talking so much, the devil wouldn't know so much about you. That might be me, because I like to talk. But here, we can learn from the mistakes of others. We can read the Word of God. The Word of God even says that. I believe in Corinthians it talks about that. How that we learn from the mistakes of Israel. And we learn. So don't necessarily live and learn. Let's learn from the Word of God. Amen. Learn from the Word of God. And then let's live our lives based upon that which we learn. And also we can learn from one another as we look at each other's lives. But the first thing that I wrote down, the first thing that I saw in these six verses, number one is there was a problem, was there not? There was a problem, and we find out what the problem is there in verse number one when it said that Sarai, Abram's wife, bare him no children. That was a problem in their life. Man, I think about the difference on the value of the life of a child this day versus then. It was and still is, amen, a blessing if God gives you children in your life in a godly marriage, the godly way, amen, according to biblical standards and values. Hey, what a blessing children are. What a heritage they are. What an opportunity we have when children come into our life to raise them, to go out into the world and be a representative for God and make a good difference spiritually in this world. Yes. But boy, look at how the world treats them in the day in which we live. Some of them are nothing, they say, more than a blob or a group of cells or not even a living being. And you know all of that and you've heard all of that. But what's so sad, even after some children are born, they're nothing more than a check.
That's right, yeah. That's right.
From some supportive branch of the government. That they receive and the child never reaps the benefits of. Hey, they're nothing more. They become not an asset, but in the lives of some people, they're just a liability. They're just a nuisance.
That's right.
And you can tell that by the way they're treated out in public in some places. But it wasn't like that in this day. Children were a heritage, they were valuable. By the way, they're still valuable, amen. If they're not valuable in the sight of man, they're still valuable in the sight of God, amen. I believe it. Conception, amen. That child becomes a living soul. And all, they can abort those babies, what they call abortion, which is really murder. They can kill them in the mother's womb. But I'm going to tell you something. Once that child is conceived, it starts to exist, amen. And God in heaven knew about it before it was ever conceived. And they are important. Ask Jesus, amen. When the disciples scoffed and tried to run the little children off, and he said, permit them to come to me. They're valuable.
That's right.
But it was a problem. And I thought about this. You know, life is full of problems, is it not? Y'all got any problems today? Y'all had any problems this week?
That's
right. Anybody want to share? We'll start in the back. No. We all have problems, don't we? Every one of us has had problems this week. We have family problems. Sometimes we have financial problems. You got any physical problems?
Yeah.
If you're breathing, you do. Young people, maybe not as much as us, but you know what? Young people are not immune to problems physically either. We've been praying for a young man. I don't even know him. I've never seen him. Somebody just asked us to pray for him. His name was Isaiah. He has a rare type of blood cancer. He's 14 years old. He's going through like heavy chemo. It seems like nothing is working. Do you think that child asked for that? You think his mom and dad asked for that? No. But you think that's a problem in their life? Sure it is. It's a problem. And we all, hey, this, you know, when we come to church, thank goodness, we all attire ourselves and fix ourselves up as best we can. You know, it takes a while for some of us.
Yeah.
Amen. You're talking about that hole in the north came from preacher's hairspray. That's what happened. The ozone layer got a hole, all these preachers' hairspray. Y'all remember my daddy's hair?
Yes.
No? Greatest cover up since Watergate? He had a wig, but it was self grown. He pulled it up and over, and you could look right through it.
but
hey, there was a problem that they had. But we all got problems. We got physical problems. And hey, as I get older, I find out that I have more physical problems. But we put on our clothing, we fix our hair, we take bath at some time, you know, put on deodorant, maybe a little cologne, and try to get ourselves presentable. Aren't you glad we didn't all come to the house of God this morning the way we woke up? Wouldn't that be a hoot? Yeah, some people do it. They do it at church, Walmart, all these public anywhere, you know. But wouldn't it be something if we all were sitting here this morning, our hair was all sticking up all over our head. Some of us stunk. You know, had a lot of body odor going on and all that. But I know we made our... But you know what? When we come to the house of God, we don't see what all has happened to our families in our lives throughout the week, do we?
Yeah, that's right.
We might know some that somebody might have shared a prayer request, but we don't know about all the problems that all of us have. But I promise you, we're seeing each other at our best.
Yes, sir.
Right? Mm-hmm. We're seeing each other at our best. Somebody's trying to smile, you know, even if you had to fake it. You know, you put on that smile, you try to act like you feel good. As you get older, you know, you're trying to act like you're still young. Like you still got some bounce in your step. You know, and then when you get home, it's like, oh. You know, you're just like, oh, I can make it. But hey, did Job have any problems?
Oh, yeah.
Man that is born of woman, I believe that's everybody in here. Anybody here wasn't born of a woman? You may think so about some that you see. Where did they come from? Everybody here born of a woman?
Yes.
A few days. Isn't this encouraging? Job 14:1, that ought to be our last verse. We're a few days and full of trouble. Hallelujah! What days we got are going to be full of trouble, amen. That's a promise. Job 5, as sure as the sparks fly upward.
Yes.
I'm just saying that none of us in here are immune to problems. And Abram was not immune to problems. Sarai was not. Abram was called a friend of God, was he not?
Yes.
But he still had problems, didn't he? No matter how close to God we are, and sometimes it seems like the closer we walk to God, the more problems. You know what? I never had any problems with this world until I got saved.
That's right.
There were some things in my life, there were some problems that I have that I didn't have before I got saved. There were some things that came into my life after I got saved, and sometimes it seemed like I had more trouble.
Yeah.
trouble in my life. Seemed like the devil attacked our family more than he ever had. Mm-hmm. Yes. Seemed like the devil tried to attack our health and the world. You know why? Because we're no longer, this is not our home. Don't try to fit in. Yeah. Amen. Don't try to fit in if you're saved. That don't mean you have to be weird or odd or anything like that. But hey, this world is not our home, amen. We are just passing through. And I'm glad, aren't you? The older I get, the less I care for this world. The less I care for the things of this world. The older I get, the more I look forward to heaven. I'd rather go by way of rapture. But if not, I'm a-going either way.
That's right.
The older I get, the more I desire. I was preaching. I was talking the other day about, people being envious. I have to say, I am not envious of the world or their money or anything that they've got. I am not the least bit. It don't bother me if somebody's a millionaire, a billionaire, a multi-billionaire. I don't care what kind of house they got. I don't want a big house. That's just more for Pam to clean. Hey, Bab, I want a one level like we live in. About 1,500 square foot that Roomba can vacuum. Hey, Bab, people live in a 10,000 square foot home. Two people. They probably got a bad marriage because they want to get away from each other. You know, but who needs 10,000 square feet in a home? I'm not envious of those things. I don't care what kind of car they drive. Amen. I told you this morning the best kind of car is a paid for car. Amen. Yeah. I know he said it was a Chevrolet because it cranked. And I'm not a four-door Chevrolet. I'm a paid for kind of guy. I like Nissans. I don't know how I got off on Nissans. I don't know how I started buying them, but I think I bought my first one back in like 1997. Wasn't 2000. I just went and bought it. I didn't even tell Pam. That's the best way to get one, fellas. If you got it, you might get flushed out, but what are they going to do about it? You're going to sign the papers. But I don't know, I got up on Nissan. I got my old Nissan out there. Got 254,000 miles on it. I'm praying it goes at least another 250, because I do not want to buy another car. Amen. The price was ridiculous enough before COVID, but now. Yeah. When they have these advertisements and they say $12,000 off, that's more than I want to give. I'm thinking, how much did this vehicle cost if they're going to give me a $12,000 discount? You know, but I'm not envious of those things. But hey, we all have problems like Abraham. It's just part of life, folks. It's just there's things that are going to come in our life. And I hear, and I do it sometimes, and I don't mean to make light of it, but you know, you hear people whimper and whine and complain and all that, and Pam tells me, and I tell her, hey, there's somebody always got more problems. There's somebody always worse off than we are. Yeah, I had a lady the other day, she was talking about, and I tried to be nice, but she was, I'm a single mother, I support, and I'm not making, don't crucify and come to me and tell me I'm insensitive because I am. No, I'm trying not to be. But you know, like, I'm a single mother. I'm having to support my mama. I'm having to do this. I'm having to do that. I'm having to do the other. You know what I wanted to say, Brother Tracy? It wasn't Christ-like. I wanted to say, you're not the only one. Amen?
Sir.
We're not the only one. I hate it when bad things come people's way. I don't care if we're saved or lost. But hey, I'm just saying we're all got problems. We're not immune to the problems of this life. So they had a problem. What was their problem? No child. Number two, not only was there a problem, but there was a proposal. Right? Look in verse 2. Sarai said unto Abram, behold, now the Lord hath restrained me from bearing. I pray thee, go in unto my maid. It may be that I may obtain children by her. There was a proposal, I believe, that was straight out of hell.
That's right.
That just because it's your wife or your husband or a brother or a sister in Christ, if it is not in obedience to the word of God, it is not of God.
That's right. Amen.
I don't care who's giving you advice. Amen.
That's right.
Yeah. The advice that Sarai gave Abram was straight out of hell. And it was a time when she should have not said it. You ever heard? Go ahead and say it. You thought it. You ever heard that? Are you married? You want to stay married? Fellas, have y'all said everything you thought? No. Ladies, have y'all said everything y'all wanted that y'all? No. There's some things better left unsaid. There's some things better left. Just don't say it. I don't care if you think it. Keep it to yourself. But this was a time when Sarai, she should have zipped her lip and not made this proposal to Abram because it was not of God. Do you know, the devil always has a proposal for our problems.
That's right.
The devil has a proposal for every one of our problems. He has an answer to everything that goes wrong seemingly in our life. But I'm glad, as I talked about this morning, that we can have the wisdom of God, amen, and we can discern that which is right in the sight of God and that which is not, and that which is good and that which is evil, and hopefully we'll make the right decision.
Yes.
Because this proposal. Can I take time to read you some verses? In 2 Samuel chapter 13. Good, I thought I could.
Yes.
2 Samuel chapter 13. Look over here at this proposal. I want to show you another proposal. You should be familiar somewhat with this scripture as well. 2 Samuel 13 verse 1 said, it came to pass after this that Absalom, y'all know who Absalom is, right? Son of David, King David. Son of David had a fair sister whose name was Tamar. And Amnon, the son of David, loved her. So, half brother, half sister probably. And Amnon was so vexed that he fell sick for his sister Tamar, for she was a virgin, and Amnon thought it hard for him to do anything to her. In other words, he fell in love with his half-sister. Pretty sick. Pretty sick. Verse 3, but Amnon had a friend. Oh. Boy, that's a big statement, isn't it? Amnon had a friend. That's why it's so important that you be careful who your friends are.
Yes,
sir. Amen. Because sometimes your friend ain't really your friend. They might be somebody that Satan has put in your path to give you bad advice. Mm-hmm. But Amnon, he had a friend whose name was Jonadab, the son of Shimei, David's brother. But look, and Jonadab was a very subtle man. Who else was mentioned as being subtle in the Word of God in Genesis?
Yeah.
The serpent, Satan, crafty. Hey, folks, can I tell you something? I'm no match for the devil.
That's right.
I'm no match for Satan. I'm no match for his craftiness. I'm no match for his years of experience. Now, my father is. My heavenly father. But he was a subtle man. He knew how to wrangle and weave and make things look good. And so this friend that Amnon had, Jonadab, in verse 4, he said unto him, why art thou, being the king's son, lean from day to day? Why are you so sad looking? What's wrong with you? Why is it that you don't have joy on your face? And joy. You're the king's son. You ought to be living it up. You ought to be enjoying life. You ought to have a smile on your face. Look at what all that you have access. Hey, worldly goods does not mean that you're going to have joy in this world.
That's right.
Some of the most miserable people in the world are some of the most wealthy. If I played the lottery, and I don't, but if I played the lottery,
wouldn't it be awful to try to manage $500 million? Can you imagine trying to keep up with $500 million? Wyatt said, no, but I'd like to.
No, he didn't say that.
Wouldn't it be awful if you had to, I mean, $10 million? It would be every leech that you knew on you, wanting this and wanting that and wanting that, and just trying to keep up with all of that. He said, hey, you've got all this at your access, man. You ought to be happy. You ought to be living it up. Why so sad all the time? Why are you lean from day to day? Verse 4. Will thou not tell me? He's picking, isn't he? Mm-hmm.
If you're not careful, some people, under the guise of trying to help you, will pick you so that they can mislead you and misdirect you. I'm just saying, be careful who your friends are. Be careful who you listen to. Be careful who you take advice from.
Yes, sir.
He said, Amnon said unto him, what's your problem? He probably should have said, well, I'd rather not talk about it. He should have took it to the Lord in prayer, right? Should have got right with God. But he said, Amnon said unto him in verse 4, I love Tamar, my brother, Absalom's sister. Jonadab said unto him, here's the proposal. Jonadab, the subtle one, said unto him, lay thee down on thy bed and make thyself sick. And when thy father cometh to see thee, say unto him, I pray thee, let my sister Tamar come and give me meat and dress the meat in my sight that I may see it and eat it at her hand. So Amnon lay down and made himself sick. And so he did that. He took the advice of his so-called friend, Jonadab. And he had a friend whose name was Jonadab. And Jonadab had a proposal. He said, Amnon, right here's the way. You can get what you want. And Sarai told Abram, Abram, right here's the way. It ain't God's way. It is a way, right? There is a way which seemeth right to a man. But what's the end of that way? Death.
That's right.
There are other ways than God's way, but there are no right ways other than God's way. And we better be careful about what proposals we entertain in our life to the problems that we have. We better seek good, godly wisdom. Problems that come in our life.
Yes, sir.
Because Sarah, who would think that your wife, man, I value my wife's counsel and advice. She can read people sometimes when I can't. Because in years gone by, pastoring and even in evangelism, sometimes I'm a pretty good judge and can pick up on people, but there have been times, and don't judge her for this, because she was trying to help me as a pastor, and she would tell me, Brother Wilson, be careful about this.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Because she could discern through godly wisdom. And you know what? She was right. 99.9% of the time. And so I value her. But you know why? You know why, Brother Wilson? Because I know that she loves me. And I know that she's concerned about me. And I know that she wants me to succeed in the eyes of God and in the ministry. She used to try to tell me all the time when I get discouraged and get downhearted and pastoring and be troubled. She says, look, honey, look at the 10. Look at the 90% that are in one accord with you. Quit looking at that 10%. I said, but that 10% is always in my ear. And they always start like this. Now, preacher. No, I don't ever bother you. But there's something I thought you ought to know. And I was thinking, oh Lord.
Here we go.
Here we go. Here we go. Hold on. Say, what do you do? I tried to think about eating or something like that while they were talking. But, you know, Sarah had a proposal like, why don't you just take my hand, mate? What could go wrong with that? I can't imagine. So there's a proposal. Hurriedly. Number 3, there was a price.
Yes.
Right? Oh, they got a child, didn't they? or Abram had a child.
Sarah wasn't none of hers. By the way, it wasn't God's.
That's right.
It wasn't the child God had in mind. It was the child that has caused Israel problems from that day until now.
That's right.
Ishmael, who the Arabs look at as their father. Abraham, their father, but the Ishmaels look at almost like that's our origin. I mean, the Arabs. And that is.
That's right.
Are they getting along?
No.
Have they ever got along?
No.
That price was to be paid. Ishmael was born, and he was a wild man. And he caused him trouble. Hey, if you make the wrong decision, if you go with the world rather than God, there's going to be a price to pay. In the life of God's children. But I want to close this on a positive note. Number four, there was a problem. There was a proposal that went wrong. There was a price to pay. But I'm glad for number four, the providence of God.
Yes.
Amen? The providence of God. In chapter 17, in verse number 15, Genesis 17, 15, God said unto Abraham, as for Sarai thy wife, thou shalt not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall be her name, shall her name be. And I will bless her and give thee a son also of her. Yea, I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of people shall be of her. Then Abraham fell upon his face and laughed and said in his heart, shall a child be born unto him that is 100 years old? And shall Sarah that is 90 years old bear? And Abraham said unto God, oh, that Ishmael, look at this, the friend of God, he's still trying to make Ishmael, the nation of Israel, come out of Ishmael. Oh, that Ishmael. Oh, Lord, let Ishmael be the one, that he might live before thee. I'm pretty sure Abraham loved Ishmael, right? That was his firstborn. That was his son. He had a lot of invested and wrapped up in him. Abraham was wanting him to be the one who inherited, amen. Wanting, like, according to that, the firstborn, he was wanting him to carry on the work of God. But it wasn't in God's plan.
That's right.
But aren't you glad that no matter what our plans are, no matter what decisions that we make, no matter about the mistakes that we make, and when the end is done, when the end is said, God is going to have his will. God is going to have his way. The providence of God is going to overrule all the mistakes that we can make in life. And he is going to accomplish his will.
That's right.
With or without us. He will get it done. So thank God for his providence. In verse 19, God said, Sarah, thy wife shall bear thee a son indeed, and thou shalt call his name Isaac, and I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant and with his seed after him. So we see the providence of God. Aren't you glad for God's rule in our life?
Yes.
Aren't you glad that God don't say, well, okay, I know you love Ishmael, so we'll just go with him. It wouldn't be God, would it? No. We all got problems, folks. But you know what? We should bear one of those burdens. This is my best friend right here in this world. Sitting right there. Known for 55 years. That's a miracle. She's only like 38. I've known her for 55 years. You can say whatever you want. I've gotten immune to the thing like, how come she looks so much younger than you? Heard that for 50, about the last 35. Last 15 been kind of rough on me, Brother Mike. I hadn't aged as well as her. But this right here, this is my best friend. This is the love of my earthly life. God gave her to me before we were ever saved. You say, I don't believe that. Believe what you want to. I believe in the providence of God. I believe he looked down through the years
and saw that I was going to get saved. And he was going to call me to preach. And I needed a good wife.
Yes.
That would stand by me and stand with me and prop me up when I needed propping up and comfort me when I needed comfort and give me advice when I needed advice. And God said, you know what? Randall Keith Wall needs Pamela Sue Slate. I'm going to put them two together. So God put this little woman right over here on the church bus when she was 12 years old. See, I've heard it before. I don't care. You're going to hear it again. God put this little girl right here on the church bus when she was 12 years old and I was 13 and sent her to Northside Baptist Church in Mount Airy where A.G. Wall was the pastor. And she came in on that church bus that first Sunday. God even allowed her to go to a pajama party. How many of y'all know what a pajama party is? Nobody in here knows what a pajama party is. All right. Y'all know that's where all the girls got together and spent the night at another girl's house. And all of us boys went over there. Snuck over there. And my mama and daddy went, no. But God sent her to a pajama party, Brother Wilson. And she went to the house of two twins, Janet and Janice, that went to our church. And one of the agreements was that all them girls was going to go to church at Northside Baptist Church on the church bus that Sunday morning after the pajama party on Saturday night. And God sent her right on over there. And then when she came in, God said, God sent my eyes over that way. She said, that wasn't God. Well, it was at least half God. The other half was me. I like the way she looks. I think I might like her. Y'all believe in love at first sight? I don't know if it exists or not. I think it does. If it don't deal. I was very bashful. Now imagine me being bashful. And I sent one of my friends to burn and I said, ask her, can I sit with her in church? And she said, yeah. I had on a brown suit, a gold colored shirt. I don't remember the tie. She had on a little flowery dress. Little bead flowers on it. I remember about right there where we'll see the back. There's a little further back. When we get into the aisle, she's sitting right there. I'm sitting right here. Scared to death. You know, you won't look at each other. Well, I got over that. We started sitting together in church. Well, first thing you know, my mom invited her over for dinner, for lunch, Sunday lunch. You know, we got mama cooked every Sunday. We ate. And so she called her mom and said, can Pam come over and eat lunch with us after church on Sundays? Her mom said, if her sister can come, guess like, she didn't trust me. So Kim came too. She's 3.5 years younger. So she started eating lunch. Well, there just happened to be some people that went right by her house on the way to our church that would pick her up on Sunday night and Wednesday night and bring her to church. She wanted to come back because I was there. You see, after she started coming, I didn't have the right reason, but I had a reason to come to church then. Before then, I had never really enjoyed it. But I was having a pretty good time now. Say, what'd your daddy preach on? Who cares? At that time, she started coming. Then, first thing you know, in the most romantic way possible, I proposed. That's been the story of our life in the parking lot of K&W Cafeteria, my eating place. My old 65 Mustang I had engagement ring before we went. I did it before we ate. Deborah, I said, you married me. She wasn't but 16, and I was 17. Then we had our wedding date set, March 29th, 1985, Northside Baptist Church. My dad resigns in February. Nowhere to get married. But another preacher does use his church, Emmanuel Baptist Church. Pastor Arthur Dawson Jr. On a Saturday, 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock, 1 o'clock. I got Saturday part right. We made a vow before God. The providence of God. I think it worked out pretty good. I don't think it was important. I think it worked out pretty good for us.
Absolutely.
Makes a difference. God had a hand in it.
That's right.
It makes all the difference. When the providence of God takes over your life. And I know I have. I know we have choices. I could have done
something. Well, aren't you glad, God?
I'm not saying he overlooks our mistakes, but he accomplishes his will in spite of our mistakes.
Yes, yes.
In spite of our mistakes, God accomplishes his will and the life of his children. I'm trying to tell you folks what a good God we have.
Yes.
I wouldn't put up with me 5 minutes most days of my life. But God shows his love and mercy to me every day.
Yes.
That I live. And lets me live another day and another day and another day. I'm just saying,
be careful who you listen to when a problem comes up. But just know in your heart, if you're a child of God,
that God don't throw us on the scrap heap of life every time we make a mistake.
That's right.
We just need to repent and ask God to forgive us and restore our fellowship with one another, with him most of all. And then I got a picture on my phone of my daddy. Stand out here behind this plow. And then what do? You just get up and plow.
That's right.
Every day.
Yeah.
Just get up and plow.
Keep plow.
Get up and plow every day. Just keep on plow. Keep on plow. We thank you for listening. Will you stand this morning?